Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, hope everyone had a nice weekend. It's Sunday afternoon here about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is the comprehensive weekend Breakpoint Trades newsletter. Now, this weekend, I'm not doing two separate newsletters. I put everything into one newsletter here, so including a lot of precious metal stuff. So there's a lot of charts here, guys. There's about 126 charts. All right, so it's going to take us some time to cover everything, probably, you know, an hour or so, maybe less. Got a lot to cover here. And just some other side comments. And some of this is also just in response to some comments and questions that I've had. You know, if you happen to be new here, try not to be overwhelmed at Breakpoint Trades. You know, Breakpoint Trades, I think, offers kind of like a smorgasbord buffet for all traders. You know, kind of like if you go to a buffet, you don't eat everything on the buffet, hopefully. You pick and choose what you want to eat. And that's kind of what you do here. We have something for, you know, people looking at just, you know, general market analysis. We have things for people here looking for short-term trade ideas. We have swing trade ideas. We analyze precious metals. We have sophisticated mechanical systems, such as our SPY system. So we have something for everyone. Try not to absorb everything. Trade everything, pick and choose what fits your style. Also, on the newsletters, if you look at the top, there's the original player, which the newsletters play in by default, which has the audio playing as you page down manually to each of the charts. There's also the new player. Now, the new player, if you click the tab, allows you to listen to the audio for the specific charts that you want. So, you know, last week I had a comment from someone that says, why you add all these precious metal charts in here? I just care about GDX and et cetera. That's fine, guys. With that new player feature, you can just click on the GDX charts and listen to those. And you don't have to click on the individual, you know, gold and silver charts that I show. Okay. So that's a nice, convenient way. All right. You know, I think we've done a damn good job here. You know, lately, especially, of really calling the market well. Our systems have been kicking butt. Our swing trade ideas have been kicking butt, et cetera. Okay. Again, you can see this newsletter is divided into six major sections. And the weekend newsletters, we tend to go over all facets. So we look at the general market indexes. We look at indicators. We look at all the sector charts. We look at the precious commodities and precious metals. Also, guys, you know, some of you write in once in a while, hey, you know, I can't handle all these shorter term trade ideas. Guys, that's where it becomes important to listen to what we say. Look at my comments on number six here in Table of Contents. Weeks ago, I stated that I liked the precious metal area and that to me it represented a very good potential swing trade opportunity, okay? Not just shorter term trades. And since that time, that area has really, you know, had a significant move. A lot of the ETFs are up anywhere from 30 to 40%. You know, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, a lot of individual stocks have doubled. Okay. So, you know, those of you working jobs, you don't have time to sit there and day trade, et cetera. You could have bought a basket of those stocks that I said weeks ago looked decent and they've had big moves. Okay. Anyway, let's get started here. The first thing I want to talk about is our SPY system. Okay. So, first image below, item number two, this shows an image of our SPY Pro high probability systems. Again, they're called systems because it's not one system. It's a collective of all these individual subsystems spread around these various charts. Okay. There is, I think, 10 long subsystems and 8 short subsystems. Okay. So I have them all spread around to all these various charts. Early last week, the SPY system closed out another nice long trade, which you see at the upper right, the SPY breakout trade. You can see that. Again, the upper right, that was a very nice trade that it bought in late June on that little pullback. Closed out last week. Very good trade, as you can see. And you can see, you know, the system has really done well here since I relaunched it in April. It had a nice little quick trade there in mid-May. Then it bought almost the bottom at the end of May, for a trade that held most of June. And of course, we just had this last breakout trade. The system has been flat and in cash, and it's waiting for its next trade. Okay. If you happen to be new here, the SPY system, most of the systems represent reversion to mean type systems. They are high probability statistical type systems. All the systems here have winning percentages, say greater than 90%, very high profit factors. Okay, I did a big retooling on the SPY system earlier this year. And again, I relaunched it in April. Its first trade here was in May. Anyway, one thing I want to point, I'm going to discuss below, guys, is so one of the subsystems on the former SPY system went long on Friday. If you look at the middle, bottom middle, you see that? So the current settings I'm using for the SPY high probability systems has it not going long, but I'm going to discuss some, you know, statistics and differences in just a minute. But anyway, let's move on. Item number three below. So this shows you the official trades this year so far from May from the SPY Pro high probability systems. And you can see we just closed out this last trade on July 16th. The trade was entered on June 26th. By the way, this last trade would have been closed out slightly better, but on that day, my power was out. So we got a little worse prices than we would have, but still another nice winning trade here. And had you been collectively taking these trades since May, early May, and you've just did the exact same position sizings here, you'd have made about $8,300, enough to pay for the website, our six-month membership for about 14 years. So that's something to put into perspective. Again, remember, these tables here are, the trade sizes just represent a template. I expect all of you to do different sizes. You know, the options, I'm doing them really simple, 1, 2, 3 contracts. You know, you might be doing 5 or 10 times the amount. And as for the ETF trades, I'm doing $10,000. You might do $5,000. You might do $50,000 per trade. Who knows? It's a template, but even if you did this small amount, it's done damn well. Next. So image number four below. So let's talk a little more about that SPY system trade that went long on Friday from the old SPY system. So again, remember the SPY system is comprised of all these individual subsystems. They all have different names. You know, there's bear long, there's trend trade, there's this one is the QE long trade. So the one I'm using for the SPY Pro high probability system is the one you see on the top chart, and you can see the trades. Okay, that's just one subsystem, guys. Obviously, the SPY system overall does a lot more trades than that. You can see, you know, that this year went long there in May and then in late May. Okay, now the same subsystem here with a little looser settings does quite a bit more trades. You can see the one at the bottom. This system would have taken a long trade there in March. Well, two of them in March for winning trades. It went long on Friday officially there. Again, the reason I didn't send this out, guys, is because I'm not using these settings for the current SPY Pro high probability. And if you look here, there was an extra trade there last year in June. And then in the February of 2018, it went long a little bit early there. You see that? So the reason why I don't use these settings for the SPY high probabilities because, you know, I didn't like how the older system would have taken a trade there a little bit too early there in February of last year, et cetera. But overall, the statistics, even on the former setting, are very good. So, you know, if you look here, I have the stats with both of them on the chart, but we'll discuss those more below. Next. Image number five below. So let's talk about some of the differences here. So the current QE long setting that I'm using is the one at the top, which did not go long on Friday. Okay. The one below uses the slightly looser settings on the previous SPY system, which this version would have went long on Friday. Now you can see this system would have done a trade there, two trades in March, which were actually nice winning trades, which were missed by my current SPY high probability version at the top. You see that? Now the difference here is one of my indicators, I'm using a looser setting, okay, at the bottom. I'm using an 8 length versus an 18 length above. But as I've stated before, guys, this system is these systems are all dynamic, which means over time I do test different settings, add new logic, and so I try to make them better all the time. So one thing I'm going to look at here is notice on the bottom chart, the two vertical lines. So what those represent is when that version below took trades, the 60 link stochastic, which you see there where my arrows are pointing, was above 80%. A thought I have is that the looser settings could be used for the current SPY high probability if the 60 stochastic is above 80%, which it is. So that's something I'm going to look at possibly adding to the system. I want to officially get it coded up and see the difference in stats. But that's what I'm showing here. As you know, I've talked about the 60 period stochastic. Whenever it's above 80%, the market's in type of a trending type momentum condition and generally, you know, fairly bullish condition. So let's take a look at another example. Image number six below. Here's the two systems. This shows you back in 2018. So again, mostly the same trades. Now you can see the one at the bottom, the one with the looser settings. It took a quickie trade there in early 2018 that the current settings above did not. It went long a little bit too early there in early February, buying that first big down bar. Now, overall, the trade would have been profitable with the second and third entry, you see. But the one we're using above, you could see it avoided that first entry, so that's better. The next two trades are the same. And then the one at the bottom, the looser setting, took a first entry a little bit early. Second trade was a winner, but the one at the top took a trade lower. So you can see overall, you know, the differences. Next, chart number seven below, or image number seven. Here's the statistics of the two QE systems. So the former one is on the upper left. You can see it says QE SPY former. So the stats are a little worse, but overall not bad. Profit factor of 1480, almost 15. Remember, a profit factor, that means that, you know, for every dollar the system lost, it made almost 15. So that's a very good profit factor. Net profit is obviously much higher than the current one, this QE SPY high probability, 54,800 versus 42,000. The SPY Pro high probability has a profit factor of 3140, which is obviously, you know, a little more than double the old one, which is what you'd expect with the tighter settings. The SPY 4 promo, former one, 84% winning trades, 200 total trades. So the SPY Pro high probability, 122 trades. So a lot less trades as you'd expect because of the tighter settings and a little higher winning percentage, almost 90%. Now the drawdown is almost the same at the very bottom, the max drawdown. It's about 9% on the former one, and it's about 9% on this one. So, you know, it's a tough call which version of these to use. Ultimately, I went to the SPY Pro high probability settings, but, you know, you guys might have a, if you have some comments or feedback, you can always email me or send me a private message on the Trading Community blog. Let me know your thoughts about these two. But again, one thing I am going to test is that 60 stochastic above in the trending condition. And I want to see the effect that has. So if it's possible that that is a good setting, then, you know, some of the stats could change on the system and we'll get some extra trades. So I'll let you guys know. I know it's a bit of a deep dive, but I do like to, you know, keep you guys filled in on what I'm doing here. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the market newsletter. So, first table, the table below, item number eight, this shows you the index sector table, what transpired on the market as a whole last week. You can see the major indexes were down. Dow was down the least, down 0.65%. The other indexes were down about 1.2 to 1.4%, with the Russell small caps lagging. Remember, the small caps have been lagging most of the year. It's very well known out there. As far as the major market sectors, kind of a mixed bag here, though more sectors were down than were up. To the downside, the biggest sector was oil services, down 6.1%, energy down 2.6%, real estate down 2%, communication services down 3.2%. Remember, that contains a lot of those FANG stocks, and they've been weak lately. Netflix was very weak yesterday, for example. Last week, I mean. They had very negative earnings. So it's going to be interesting to see what the rest of the FANG stocks in earnings season do this time around. And we're in earnings season, guys. That's a big deal. The strongest sector last week was GDX, the gold miners, as you'd expect, up 6.75%. Okay. Currency-wise, U.S. dollar had an up week, up about 0.4%. As far as commodities for the week, obviously the precious metals had a good week. Gold was only up 0.7%, but silver up 6.4%. Silver has been was lagging and is really starting to play some big catch up here. That's a big rally. GDX, gold miners up 6.75%. As far as the other commodities, crude oil down 7.4%, though with some of the Middle East tension we're seeing from late in the week and this weekend, maybe we'll see that bounce. Natural gas down 8.25%, so that's a big drop. But there is some divergence on a 60-minute time frame we'll take a look at. Copper up 2.2%. The ags mostly took it on the chin. Corn down 5%. Wheat down 4%. As far as bonds, high-yield corporate slightly down 0.4%, and TLT bounced back last week, up 1.13%. Next, item number 9 shows the economic news calendar for this week. And guys, remember, we're in earnings season officially here, okay? We've seen some negative earnings, things like Netflix. Overall, it's going to be interesting. A lot of companies were expected to underperform quite a bit this quarter. You know, we'll see what they report. You know, do they still beat the lowered expectations is the question. Market tends to hold up during earnings season, but again, who knows? We'll see what happens. All right, let's go and jump to the index charts. First chart below, item number 10, here's the yearly chart of the major indexes. You can see I updated these statistics. Again, strong year. Dow up, you know, over 16%, S&P up 18.7%, NASDAQ up 22.8%. At the bottom, DBC only up, that's commodities only up 7.4%. But I think gold, which I don't show in here, is up 11%. So big year. Again, we still got a lot of the year left. So we'll see what happens. Next, image number 11 below. Here's my quarterly stats going back to 1950. I've been talking about this, but I just want to keep reiterating. Obviously, we've had two strong first quarters here. If you look at number 7, 2019, the first quarter up 11.2%, second quarter up 2.6%. However, my comments have been that, you know, sometimes when you have really strong first quarter like that and a second up quarter, that the odds of a down third quarter, I think, can be pretty high. This table is sorted by first quarter change, highest to lowest. And you can see, you know, 98, S&P was up 11.3% that quarter, was up the second quarter, but it was down 12% on the third quarter. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, don't be surprised if there's still some volatility this year. You know, maybe in the third quarter would be a good time for it. You know, don't be complacent out there, guys. I know markets had a good year, but that doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing every quarter. Okay. Doesn't mean it won't be, but, you know, some of the odds here look like, well, we need to be careful. Next, chart 12, here's the monthly view. Again, another up month so far. The Dow has been leading here. Now, so far for this month, July isn't over yet. We have some monthly doji candlesticks on the S&P and NASDAQ. And the Russell's slightly down here. Next, chart 13, here's the weekly chart. Again, you can see so far pausing near the upper Bollinger Bands on these weekly charts. Next, chart 14, here's the daily chart of the 5 key major indexes. Okay, so far, nice little pullback last week. Now, guys, let's go ahead and focus on the S&P 500. Chart 15, here's the monthly view. Again, we have a doji candlestick on the month. We've obviously had a very good year. But really no changes, obviously, guys. You know, it's still pretty amazing that the MACD below still has yet to cross to the upside. So we definitely have a MACD that's lagging here overall, and that is definitely something to be aware of. Next, Trevor 16. Here's the other monthly chart. Remember, you longer term guys that like these moving averages, the 8 and 13 month exponential moving averages tend to be really good guides in the longer terms. You know, these never crossed the downside late last year. Now, it'd have been tough to go through that drawdown pullback, you know, in the fourth quarter last year, but even if you did, you know, markets came back to new highs and the moving averages never crossed for a sell signal. But again, I will point out there is some big MACD divergence now in the weekly time frame. So unless the S&P rallies, you know, 200-400 points more, that divergence is going to remain in place. Next, chart 17. Here's a weekly chart. One thing to note, S&P getting up near this trend line where it's finding some resistance. Next, let's move to the daily chart. Chart 18. Here's the daily chart. Again, so far, logical pullback from that 3,017 high from a week ago. You can see the black candle doji candlestick there. You know, those often mark some sort of reversals, and so far it has. Here I drew a little trend line, guys. Friday was kind of an ugly day. Again, we have some potential geopolitical news that could negatively affect the market, so we'll see. I drew a little trend line here. It honestly has the look of a small head and shoulder pattern. Now, whether that plays out or not, we'll see, but that is something to note, this little support. If we lose this support, there's an open gap from late June that I think could be filled. And I'll talk about that when we get below. The MACD also crossed the downside last week. Next. Chart 19, here's another daily chart. I've talked about this chart before. But again, a positive for the market is the 60 stochastic. It's still firmly above 80%. Even with last week's pullback, it's at 88.8%. The shaded yellow areas represent the areas when the 60 stochastic is above 80. Those represent momentum conditions in the market where shallow dips tend to be bought. Again, those don't last forever. You can see last year, market, every little dip there was bought. But once the 60 stochastic finally fell below 80, you know, that ended that, and then the market had that big correction to the rest of the year. And then, of course, this year, in February, 60 stochastic went above 80 and all those little dips were bought. And then once it fell below there, you know, that represented a correction in May. But even just this little pullback here, with the 60 stochastic still firmly well above 80, I'd say that's still one for the bulls at this point. Okay, and there's still a little room to pull back here and remain. Next, chapter 20, here's the daily pivots. Again, remember, these daily pivots are great support and resistance guides. Okay, they're not traditional pivots. They're based on prior highs and lows, fib extensions, etc. Next, chapter 21, here's another daily chart of the S&P with our custom indicators. So, guys, no major changes on most of the indicators. The ATR trailing stop, you can see that's firmly at 29.52.69. That's a big area of support to mark below. Okay, see that? The BPTMA Deluxe, the main one, is green. The faster one, you can see it went red there once in late June, flipped back to green. So that's where we get a higher low stop. It's now back to red. You see that? So that's important because let's say the market dips a little bit and then the market rallies up again and that turns back red. We'll be to then set a third higher low stop. Remember, I've talked about this before, using the fast response BPTMA Deluxe to identify the higher lows for swing trading type positions on the indexes. Again, this doesn't have anything to do right now with the SPY system, guys, but it doesn't mean I won't integrate this somehow with the SPY system eventually. All right. You could see examples of those higher low stops, say from January all the way into early May. You know, using that fast response BPTMA Deluxe, you'd have been able to raise your stops four times and then finally stopped out. So you'd have caught that whole uptrend and avoided a lot of that big May sell-off that we had. So pretty logical, nice use to this guide. Next, let's move to the intraday chart, chart 22. Here's the two-hour view of the S&P. So coming into last week, Steve and I were showing the rising wedge patterns on the S&P, particularly the 60-minute and two-hour time frames. And you can see they played out. So we spotted that. We did a good job of that. And you can see the S&P pulled back about 45 points off of that high, that wedge played out. Guys, wedge patterns, when they have this MACD divergence, that confirms the wedge patterns. And when you have five waves. Now, the big question here, does this still go lower? The sell-off from the highs is about 45 points. We do not have a break in symmetry yet. Okay. The largest pullback in the uptrend from the June 1st low there was 51 points there in late June. You see that? So it's still possible that, you know, we could hold symmetry. We'll see. You know, definitely going to be interested to see what happens early this week. Next. Chapter 23, here's SPXU on the same time frame. That's the triple inverse ETF for the SPY. We showed this is a way to play a pullback in the market. You know, so it's the opposite chart to the S&P above. And you can see this beautiful wedge pattern played out for a nice trade last week. Now, you know, you could have taken your profits last week, or maybe you're still in a position. If you're still in a position, I think you could have a higher low, a stop at that higher low at 26.02 there. You see where my dotted purple lines are? I like to use higher lows when I'm trying to swing trade something and give it room. Okay. Again, this is a textbook wedge, five ways. If you draw a wedge pattern and you don't have five waves, then it's not a wedge pattern, guys. And wedge patterns also have MACD divergence. Okay. If you don't have MACD divergence, typically not a wedge either. Anyway, this still looks kind of bullish to me. So I'm kind of curious to see if this will still get some upside movement this week. Next. Chapter 24, here's a 60-minute chart. You can see the wedge pattern I talked about. Those higher lows represented by the dotted blue lines. You broke the higher lows last week. We got a little lower high in place here and a big pullback. One thing to note, look at your moving average ribbon. It crossed bearish late last week, pinched on the other side and trying to curl down here. So it's in an area where it could kind of throw price to the downside. So that's the big question I got. If we get some follow-through selling this week, guys, there's an open gap there. You can see the box below. So that could be a target, those open gaps. Next. Chapter 25. Here's another 60-minute view. So some people have been commenting how it looks sort of like a slanted head and shoulder pattern. And I don't think this is really a textbook head and shoulders, but it sort of has the look to it. You can see the neckline here. So if we break this trend line, break that last low, higher low at 29.73, these are some possible price measurements, the dotted lines, okay? Again, the initial target, I think, on a good break of the support would be that first open gap from early July. You see that? There's also another unfilled gap from back there in mid-June, June 18th, okay? Doesn't mean that one has to be filled. There's some unfilled gaps from earlier in the year that were never filled, but the immediate gap there would have my attention. Next. Chapter 26. Here's another 60-minute chart, just a zoomed out version. Again, guys, we haven't broken symmetry yet. The biggest pullback in the uptrend from the early June lows was 51 points. Okay. So far, we only have a 45-point pullback. So if we get follow through selling this week, that'll be something to monitor. If we break symmetry, that would be a negative and set the stage for a lower high to be put in on the next rally. Finally, chapter 27, here's a 5-minute view with the pivots. So tomorrow's primary pivot is around 29.86 or so. Next, chapter 28, here's the Dow weekly chart. You can see it's reversing a little bit off the upper resistance trend line, finding some logical resistance there. Next. Chapter 29, here's the daily chart. The Dow has held up the best out of the indexes. That's probably a negative, honestly, guys. Generally, the techs lead. And obviously, the Dow has been leading here lately. It's to its 9 EMA. Remember, the S&P is slightly below its 20-day. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention about the S&P above, guys, is we had potentially a three-pattern push on an RSI divergence. But I digress. Let's move on. Chapter 30, here's the 60-minute chart of the Dow. Again, similar look, honestly, to the S&P. Not exactly, though. Next. Chapter 31, triple Qs, NASDAQ weekly chart. Down about 1.3% for the week. You can see we have some divergence at the highs on the indicators. Next. Chapter 32, here's the daily chart. So nice, ugly candle on Friday. The 20-day moving average is just above. Haven't tested that. The dotted lines here represent your higher lows. So if you have a swing stop, you could still have a swing stop at that higher low. You wouldn't be stopped out yet. MACD's crossed the downside. Again, it's going to be interesting to see what happens earlier this week, guys. Next. Chart 33 here is the 60-minute chart. Again, similar look to the triple Qs. That higher low on Thursday last week is something to watch. Next. Chart 34, here's the Russell. Remember, small caps have lagged all year. Next. Chart 35, here's the daily chart. You know, nothing that negative to say, but it has been lagging the other indexes. It's still holding these two major moving averages, the 50-day and the 200-day. If you have a swing trade long position on the Russell, you know, I think it still has to go at that higher low. You know, you're still way off from that stop. Next. Chart 36, here's another daily version, just a zoomed in version. And finally, chart 37, here's a 60-minute chart. Steve drew sort of a wedge-like pattern. We'll see if that holds or not. So, you know, again, as far as the major indexes, guys, we were quite overbought going into last week. We've pulled back, which was logical. The rising wedge patterns we showed on the 2-hour chart of the S&P played out. So you definitely, we gave a good warning. The question is, do we get some more follow-through selling or not? You know, I'm still under the impression, even if we get some follow-through selling, that the market's just not going to fall out of bed. You know, maybe it goes a little lower, but I still think it could recover, you know, especially with the S&P in that momentum type condition. And we're in earnings season. So market tends to hold up in earnings season. So we'll see what happens this week. But I'm curious to see if we'll get some follow-through action on Friday. All right, let's move on to the indicators. Chart 38, here's the VIX. So as you know, the VIX did indeed find support once again in its lower Bollinger Bands, you know, just over a week ago, which we pointed out. Next, chart 39, here's a 60-minute chart of the VIX. So the VIX kind of has this, again, it's inverse of the S&P, sort of has a rounded bottom type look to it. If it takes this area out, you know, obviously if it goes up here, the market will pull back. It still does kind of look a little bullish, so we'll see what happens. Next, chart 40, here's the put-call ratio. This closed at 1.09 above its upper Bollinger Bands. That's one thing to note, guys. You know, a close below its lower bands would represent a buy signal. But let's say the market gets some more follow-through selling. This is something to monitor, you know, if this creeps higher. As this creeps higher, you know, remember it's a contrarian indicator. When it gets too high, markets usually do for a bounce. You can see back in May just how high that got. It got to 1.4 in late May, which was almost as high as it was back in December when the market was just absolutely cratering. You know, that was people were just too bearish at that time. So anyway, keep an eye on this. Next, chart 41, here's our PMO indicator system. Remember, you know, this has done a good job. You know, you can see all the rules I have in the chart. This went long back on June 1st off that big up candle, and it's been a nice, caught this uptrend very well. Now, this finally had a big sell-off on Friday. Not surprising, it had been stuck up there at 100% for weeks. You see that? Now, there's some questions on the blog whether this went on a sell signal or not. You know, you can make that determination. The other thing you could watch is the higher lows. The last major higher low is 29.63. That could be a stop. Next. Chart 42, here's the BPSPX. This could also be thought of as a system type. It's a Renko chart on the S&P bullish percent. This has not went on a sell signal yet. This went on a buy signal a little bit later. It went on a buy signal on June 5th. What this chart does, it does a pretty good job of ignoring a lot of noise, which again also means you're not going to get out at tops or get in at bottoms, but it smooths out. And you can see overall, it's caught some of the big trends in the market fairly well. So that's something to monitor. Next. Chart 43, here's the McClellan oscillator on the Dow. This closed slightly below its lower Bollinger Bands. Whenever this closes below its lower Bollinger Bands, you're typically getting oversold in the short term. Next, looking at some of these comparison indicators. So these have been warning on the market. So this shows you the S&P advanced decline versus the small cap advanced decline. Clearly, whenever there's divergences in place here, it tends to play out for a market correction. And we had one here. So next, Chapter 45, here's the S&P versus the high yield corporate. S&P made a higher high where the high yield corporate did not a week ago, and that was negative. And so far, we got a little pullback. Now, do we just get a little pullback here, or does it turn into something larger like what happened, you know, or in the last divergences? You know, for example, the last time you had divergence was in late April there. You had a bigger correction in May. Next. Chapter 46, here's the S&P versus the value line. Same thing. S&P made a higher high. Value line did not. You know, that was a warning sign coming into last week, and it markets pull back. Again, do we just get a shallow pullback or something larger? Like you see this, the divergences in this in the past produced some really good sell signals. Look back last year in August, last year in September, in March, and of course in early May there. So we'll see. Next. Chapter 47, here's a longer term chart. This is the NYSE McClellan is a cumulative graph. This gave a damn good sell signal back there in October. The buy signal was quite late, but this is still nowhere going on a sell signal at this point. Next. Chapter 48, here's the NASDAQ new highs, new lows. One thing I'm noticing here, guys, again, this gave a great sell signal back there in October. You see that? But notice it's hardly done anything. It's just chopping around here. So with the NASDAQ at new highs, look how far this is off of those highs last year. What this tells you is that, you know, the breadth is weak. Just a few large stocks have been leading the market. A lot of the smaller ones have not. So something to keep an eye on over time. Next. Chapter 49, here's the unemployment rate. As you know, that's been at, you know, new lows. But as I talked about a couple weeks ago, this is something to point out. You know, just like anything, this unemployment rate tends to move like in cycles. You know, unemployment rate goes up, then it falls, you know, just along with economic cycles. It's way down here. There's also some MACD divergence. You know, there's been talk about slowing economy. I honestly think this is trying to bottom, and this will eventually start turning up. Unemployment will go up, and that'll correspond with a recession or pullback in the economy. Next, let's move into bonds and interest rates. So chart 50, here's the 10-year treasury yield. A couple weeks ago, I pointed out that doji candlestick. I said it looked ready for a bounce, and it did indeed bounce. So far, that bounce stopped the 9 EMA there. Next, chart 51, here's TLT, that's 20-year bonds. This looked very overbought a couple weeks ago with that inverted hammer, and it did pull back. So far, just like the TNX above, you can see this found support at its 9 EMA. Next, chart 52, here's the daily chart. This had a three pattern push high. That what that means is the price had three higher highs there. The RSI 5 indicator to top had three lower highs. So far, it's had a weak bounce. We'll see if it forms the lower high here or not. Next, chart 53, here's TBT. That's the inverse ETF. That's a way to play, you know, a pullback in TLT. This is holding right on this trend line, so this could represent a lower risk buy down here, something to monitor. Next, chart 54, here's the yield curve. As you know, this has been negative for a while, so that's, you know, definitely some of the fears of a possible, you know, recession in the future here. Next, chart 55, high yield corporate. Little pullback last week, overall still fine. Some divergence of that recent highs though. And finally, chart 56, here's the daily chart. Continues pulling back. Remember, guys, this is highly correlated with the general market, so keep an eye on this. If you get big selling here, that would be ominous for the market. So far, just kind of minor selling. All right, let's move to the market sectors. Again, guys, I'm going to go through the major sectors here. If you don't care, you can skip this. I just like to give you the overall view of what the major sectors are doing. So chart 57, here's the transports. You know, they've lagged overall for the year, but so far, still holding this channel trend line. Next, chart 58, here's banks. Still continues to hold up well. You can honestly probably move a higher low stop to last week's lows. Kind of has a flag look to it at this point. Next, chart 59, financials. Bounced off the 200-day moving average last week. Overall, these sectors are still strong. Next, chart 60, semiconductors. This sector's had a nice bounce from the May lows. A little overbought here in the short term. Next, Chapter 61 here is XLC. That's the communications sector. Remember, this is important to keep an eye on. It's got Google, Facebook, Netflix in it. So some big names in there. Netflix missed earnings last week. They have weaker growth. So that's affecting this. More FANG stocks reporting here. Facebook, Google coming. So keep an eye on those guys. If they start to hit be negative, that could really take the market down. Next. Chapter 62. Here's biotech. Little trend line to monitor. Still over the 50-day moving average. Next. Chapter 63. Industrials. This pulled back off that resistance high, logically. Next. Chapter 64. Materials. It's coiling. This could break either way. Next. Chapter 65. Metals and mining. This has been a fairly strong sector. Pausing here a little bit at the 200-day moving average. Next. Chapter 66. Consumer staples, still wedge-like pattern, something to monitor. Next, chapter 67, healthcare, trying to break a little support here. 50-day moving average above could be would be a target if it gets more selling. Next, chapter 68, consumer discretionary. This has been a very strong sector. That trend line is now support, and the 200-day or the 20-day moving average there in blue below. Next, chapter 69, retail. Overall, it's been a little choppy here lately. Next, chapter 70, utilities, been a strong sector this year, chopping around sideways a little bit. Next, chapter 71, home builders, been a strong sector, obviously. Little pullback here in the short term. Next, chapter 72, real estate. You can see nice pullback lately, especially from those two doji candlesticks. Those doji candlesticks are always something to pay attention to, guys. Anyway, it had a divergent high recently here. Talk about some slowdown in the housing market, so something to watch. Next, chapter 73, energy, XLE, so far bouncing off the 50-day moving average. Notice your moving average ribbon is pinching, so possibility to look for some support. Next, chapter 74, oil services, slight bounce on Friday as well. So that does it for the major sectors. Let's move on to some commodities. Chapter 75, crude oil, big pullback last week, down 7.4%. But again, guys, Middle East tensions here could produce a bid under crude, possibly. So be aware of that. Chapter 76, here's the daily view. We'll see how it responds this week. Next, chapter 77, natural gas, down 8.25% last week. So big sell-off. Big sell-off from the highs last year. Next. Chapter 78, here's the daily view. Next. Chapter 79, here's UGAS. That's the triple long ETF. The reason I'm showing you this, there's a doji candlestick here. So let's zoom to a 60-minute time frame. Chapter 80, here's the 60-minute time frame. Notice you have some MACD divergence and a wedge-like pattern. So we'll see if that can produce a bounce or not. Next. Chapter 81, copper. Up 2.2% for the week. No changes overall in the pattern. Next. Chapter 82, here's the daily chart. Got some strength here lately, last couple weeks. Next, chapter 83, DBA, agriculture ETF. Overall, it's been a long downtrend. Slightly down for the week. Next, chapter 84, here's the daily chart. Sort of an interesting horizontal rectangle pattern. Notice it bounced off support. You know, if you wanted, you could be long here at the stop. Just below the lower trend line. I don't trade DBA, guys. It's a slow mover, but it's just a comment. Next, chapter 85, Joe, the coffee ETN. This was a beautiful swing trade for us back in June. It hit target. Since then, it's been shopping around. Next, chapter 86, here's the weekly. Another one reason I liked coffee earlier this year was this nice wedge pattern that played out. And finally, chapter 87, here's the monthly chart. Coffee also had support going back to 2005, which it bounced off. So that's an example of using multiple time frames, guys. Monthly, weekly, daily. Next, going to move to the precious metals. So first off, the dollar charts. Here's the weekly chart of the dollar. Really no changes. Going sideways here lately. Next, chapter 89, here's the daily chart. You know, big sell-off on the dollar back in June. Big bounce, chopping around. Ultimately, though, the precious metals haven't cared. They've been very strong. Next, chapter 90, gold. So gold, as you know, has had a nice rally from the May lows. It had a little wedge pattern in May, which broke out. It broke out of this big weekly pattern. You can see for the week, it was up about 1%, closed well off the highs, though. The question here now is, what does it do? Does it rally up more, or is it due for some more consolidation? If gold pulls back more, it's a buying opportunity, guys. I think gold goes a lot higher over time. The question in the short term is, what does it do here? There's some divergence here on the RSI, et cetera. But remember, I've been bullish on gold, you know, since early June. And I still think it can go quite a bit higher. The that trend line below is major support, though I doubt it comes all the way back to there. Next. Trevor 91, here's the zoomed out version of the gold. Again, you can see this big rounded bowl type pattern, which we broke out of. One of my longer term targets is up in there in the 1500s, which I think we'll achieve. But again, I think we're going to get a pullback sometime along the way. I don't think it's just going to go to straight up there. So I do believe, in my opinion, consolidation patterns are buying opportunities for gold. Next. Chart 92, here's the daily chart. So I also had a little cup and handle, which played out. We had a coil pattern, which broke out late last week. We got a pullback on Friday. Again, the question is now what goes on here? We do have some MACD divergence setting up, et cetera, you know, or do we get some more follow through? It's tough to say. We just got one candle pullback here. Clearly, a lot of the stocks have had huge moves and got quite overbought. The stocks tend to lead, so I would focus probably a lot of attention on the stocks for some clues. Because remember, stocks tend to lead, guys. Next, Chart 93, silver. Beautiful breakout of this big triangle pattern, okay? Nice move here. Again, I think silver still represents a longer-term swing opportunity. Next, Chart 94, here's the another weekly chart. You can see how it's breaking out of this big falling wedge pattern, okay? Over time, if the gold precious metal market really moves higher, Fed lowers rates aggressively, I could see this moving up into the 20s, maybe even the mid-20s. That's still a long ways away, but this chart looks bullish. Next, Chart 95, here's the monthly chart. Again, you can see we're starting to break this trend line. We have a lot of consolidation here. All the moving averages are pinched together. That means price is, energy is coiled up. You can see long-term resistance is up there at 26. Again, that's a long way away, guys, but this chart looks potentially bullish. Next, Chart 95, here's the daily chart. Again, nice move in silver. You can see it's been stair-stepping up. Finally broke out of that coil pattern. Silver has led gold lately here, but you can see nice pullback on Friday. Quite overbought, so that's what I mean. This area may be due for consolidation, but guys, any major consolidations are buying opportunities. I'm long silver ETF in my IRA accounts, okay? If you want a really wide swing stop, it could be at that higher low. That swing stop would be quite low down there, now around 1490 or so. But again, next time silver pulls back here and makes another higher low, I'll be able to then move my stop up again. So guys, you know, overbought here, but I do believe this is a good, you know, it'll be another good buying opportunity on a consolidation if we get it. Moving on to the stocks. Chart 97, here's GDX, Gold Miners ETF, up 6.75%. Beautiful move out of this nice coil pattern over the last 5 weeks. See that? Also, when it first started pulling back, you can see that moving average pinch on the ribbon. That was a beautiful setup. Overall, GDX, if the precious metal market, you know, goes a lot higher, I think GDX will eventually attack the 2016 highs and go higher. But I don't think it's going to be a straight up move. That's why I state when they get extended, be careful chasing them, but use consolidations, pullbacks as buying opportunities. Next. Chart 98, here's the monthly chart. A symmetry target, if GDX has a move like it did back there in 2016, projects up to just over 35. We'll see if we get that or not, though. Again, that's going to take time to occur, guys. This is a monthly chart. It ain't going there in a week. It ain't going there in a month. Next. Chart 99, here's a daily chart. Again, hell of a move off the May lows when we had a lot of stocks. And remember, back there in June, I was very bullish on this sector I said, this area represented a major swing trade opportunity. So I hope some of you took advantage of it. Really nice moves. Now, with this last move, guys, we are quite extended. There's some MACD divergence, RSI divergence. In fact, if you want a really tight stop, you could have a stop at Friday's doji low, where you see my dotted line there. That's if you're a short-term trader. Next, Chartbert 100. Here's a two-hour chart. Next, Chartbert 101. Here's a 60-minute chart. Overall, still has sort of a flag look to it. So if this still pushed higher this week, it would not surprise me, you know, especially with the Middle East tension. So we'll see. Next, Chartbert 102. Here's a comparison chart of GDX versus GDXJ. Now, GDXJ is the gold miners. Honestly, if you're owning GDX, you're going to make generally a larger percentage on GDXJ. So if you look here, GDX from the late May lows went up about 39.5%, whereas GDXJ went up 44%. So not a huge difference, but you got a little more bang for your buck. Okay. Next, Chartbert 103. SIL, this is the silver miner ETF. So instead of owning a bunch of individual silver stocks, you could be long this ETF. Again, beautiful rally out of that flag pattern there, you know, over the last couple of weeks, as you can see. Got overbought, pulling back on Friday. Next, Chartbert 104, here's the weekly chart. Again, nice move off those lows. You can see overall, this could still have a long way to go, especially if it eventually gets back to its 2016 highs. Next, Chartbert 105, SILJ, that's the silver junior ETF. So kind of like GDXJ, this contains a lot of the juniors in it. Similar pattern, obviously, but just like GDXJ, this tends to have a bigger move percentage-wise. Let's take a look at a comparison chart. Chartbert 106, here's a comparison chart of SIL at the top and SILJ below. So you can see SIL moved 35% off the May lows to last Friday's highs, whereas SILJ moved almost 52%. So you got quite a bit bigger bang for your buck. So again, guys, if you don't want to mess with the individual stocks, you could, you know, do SILJ, do GDXJ, etc. Next, Chartbert 107, here's the GDX-GLD ratio. Remember, the stocks lead the metal. This had a nice falling wedge pattern. It retested that wedge there in May. That ended up being a nice buying opportunity. Overall, we'll see if this continues to go higher. You know, we had a huge rally back in 2016 out of the initial wedge pattern. Next, Chartbert 108. Here's a 15-minute chart of the moving averages. We use this as a good guide. If you were simply long the gold stocks or the ETFs whenever these moving averages were coiled up, you made a lot of money the last couple of months. Look at that. Just a slight little pull. They just crossed slightly back in early July. You know, if you sold there, you'd have got right back in early July as well, a couple days later. They're still very bullish here, but they're getting quite wide. They may be due for some consolidation soon. Next, Chartbert 109. Here's a system chart via the BPGDM based off a Renko chart. This went on a buy signal off that Renko back there in May, when GDX was 2077, GDX is now 2825. So that was a hell of a buy signal. And it gave a nice sell signal back there in March. You see that? Next, Chartbert 110. Here's another BPGDM chart with the 8 moving average. That's also a guide whenever that crosses. All right, guys, we're going to move on to some individual stocks. I'm not going to discuss, you know, 50 gold stocks today. We already got enough. I'm just going to cover some of the majors here. Chartbert 101, KL. This is probably the strongest overall, you know, technical gold stock out of them all on a longer time frame. You could see this recent move. It looks kind of muted, but when you look at the weekly chart, which is chart 102, this thing's been moving up steadily since 2017. Look at that. Next, Chartbert 813 AEM. This is a late breakout one from last week. But again, at this stage when the stocks are quite overextended, you know, better to take some profits. Again, the lower risk time to be swinging these, you know, was back in early June, right? And even earlier in July. Next, Charber 14 FNV. That was also a late breakout. Broke out late last week. Next. Going to show you some of these silver stocks, guys. Again, some of these silver stocks, we've had these on the list. You know, you could own these or you could own the ETF. Again, you know, some of you want to keep it simple. You may just want to look at SILJ or SIL, but the silver stocks are the ones that are really at a big move here because of the move in silver. So SVM, I mean, look at this move out of the flag pattern. Obviously, you know, quite extended, finally pulling back a little bit there on Friday. Next, Charber 16 is the weekly chart breaking out. It broke out last week from this big weekly coil. So long term, this could still go a lot higher, but short term, it's extended. And that's what a lot of these stocks look like, guys. The weekly charts look great, but the dailies are extended. So my thought is when these have consolidations, there'll be good buying opportunities because the weekly charts still look like they have a long way to go. Next, Charber 17, S-Sand. This was one that broke out last week. We identified it, had a resistance there at 590. Really great trade there. I hope some of you caught it. Next, Charber 18. Here's the weekly chart. You can see it had that nice resistance on the weekly. It almost made it back to its 2016 highs, in fact. Next, looking at a couple of these silver stocks. Again, monster moves here. Look at AG. Look at that move from that wedge pattern. Next, Charber 26. Here's the weekly chart. Really nice move out of that big triangle pattern. I showed that triangle pattern back in early June, guys. Hell of a move out of that. Next resistance is up there around 11. Next, Charber 21. Pause, another one we had on our watch list. Really nice move. Obviously not an area you want to buy it right now, right? You want to pull back. Next, Charber 22. Here's the weekly chart. Broke through that weekly trend line solidly. Next, Charber 23, CDE was a nice coil pattern there in early July that we liked. Really played out, but hope you took some profits before Friday. Big pullback there. Next, Charber 24, NGD. Here's one of those small ones. Remember, guys, I talked about how these smaller stocks will tend to move once this sector really starts moving. You get some big percentages moves. So NGD was one I talked about back there in June. You know, this is when I bought back to around 80 cents. It rallied to $1.56 last week. That was a big percentage move. Look at the weekly chart, which is chart for 25, the weekly. Had this big rectangle pattern. Next, chart for 26. Here's AKJG, another small one. Big percentage move up, obviously off the highs on Friday. And finally, chart for 127. Here's the weekly chart. Had that big double bottom support. So as I've talked about before, the way I like to play the precious metal stocks, guys, I buy some ETFs, I'll buy some majors, and I'll also buy a basket of the literally low price stocks, you know, the stocks that are trading below a dollar, $2, you know, et cetera. Because a lot of times when they really get moving, those stocks have big moves. And these are some examples. Anyway, guys, that'll do it. Looks like the market futures are opened. So ES is down about 2 points. So we don't have any big down moves or anything tonight. So we'll see how the general market opens tomorrow, but no big sell-off in futures here at this moment. Anyway, have a wonderful evening. Take care.